Please be seated.
Right off, I want you to know that my presence this morning is a total fluke of the rota. I am currently assigned to preach the fourth Sunday of every quarter. But the humor of this occasion is not lost on me. While the dean and most of the rest of the clergy and many of your brothers and sisters are marching in the pride parade, the gay guy is back home in charge. We might call that progress. Some will undoubtedly ask, why do we have pride celebrations anyway? What possible use do they serve? And just what are those people proud of anyway? They just make themselves unpopular by exposing their sexuality. If they're going to choose that lifestyle, they should at least have the decency to be quiet about it. I think I just answered the question, don't you? Nearly 500,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning people, together with their hetero allies, are strolling through Loring Park this weekend or dodging raindrops, watching the performances, stopping at the various organizational booths, shopping for art or pride memorabilia, and perhaps coming in the doors of our cathedral. Pride gives lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning individuals the opportunity to be willingly visible in the larger community, to show the world the broad spectrum of our diversity, to give thanks for those before us who have campaigned for our rights, and to give voice to our ongoing quest for equality. And let's face it, there really haven't been that many truly positive and exalting moments in LGBTQ history for people to want to absorb and make their own. Too often, we're commemorating a death, a disease, something awful. But Pride remembers and celebrates the birth of gay power, as we called it then. The Stonewall Bar Uprising of 1969 in New York City, 50 years ago this summer, when LGBTQ identity sprang out of the closet to say no more to oppression and bigotry. Minneapolis-St. Paul, like any other metropolitan area, has a significant gay population. We work in all kinds of organizations, in businesses, our schools, colleges, universities, our hospitals, our prisons, the police force, the military, and, of course, the clergy. Yet despite advances in equal rights legislation, many LGBT people, and especially those who are still questioning their sexuality or gender identity, continue to live in fear of discrimination and prejudice. Pride as a yearly celebration is our opportunity to confront that fear, to gather as a community and with allies, and to be out and proud to ourselves and to those around us. Not that pride is limited to once a year. Here's part of my story. Anybody who knows me for even a short while knows I love to sing. I don't have the world's greatest voice. I'm never going to be an opera star. But making music with my voice fulfills me in a very special way. It means even more to me when it's in aid of a purpose. So for almost 25 years now, I have had the privilege to be part of One Voice Mixed Chorus, the largest chorus in the country, made up of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people and their allies. Ages 17 to 70 plus, 120 voices strong at the moment. Not only do we offer an eclectic range of music well sung, but by raising our voices in song, we work to build community and create social change. That's a quote from our mission statement, by the way. Some years ago, one of our concerts included a long solo called Michael's Letter to Mama. This was a setting of part of Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City. And if you don't know it, Tales is a now classic set of six novels written between 1976 and 1989. It chronicles a young man's coming out and finding community in San Francisco. And in this song, this segment of the novel, Michael Tolliver, who is the lead character, writes to tell his parents that he is gay. As he holds a conversation in his head and on paper with his mother, he says, "No, Mama, I wasn't recruited. No seasoned homosexual ever served as my mentor. But you know what? I wish someone had. I wish someone older than me and wiser than the people in Orlando had taken me aside and said, 'You're all right, kid. You can grow up to be a doctor or a teacher just like anyone else. You're not crazy or sick or evil. You can succeed and be happy and find peace with friends, all kinds of friends who don't give a damn who you go to bed with. Most of all, though, you can love and be loved without hating yourself for it.'" The chorus followed this with a setting of the traditional gospel tune, "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child," which we dedicated to the disproportionately large number of homeless youth who identify as LGBTQ and who in coming out find themselves tossed out. So much garbage in the eyes of those who should have cared for them. And there are many other young people who remain in the home, but nevertheless encounter scorn and ridicule and shame on a daily basis. "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I wish I'd never been born." So go the mournful lyrics of the song. But right along with these, there was a repeated, interthreaded counter lyric. "Hold on, hold on. We are together and we are one. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Hold on. Hold on, we are together and we are one." Which is why pride and visibility are so essential. Now I'll make this even more personal. In every parish where I have ever had the privilege to serve, there has been at least one person, child or adult, who told me it made a world of difference to them that I was gay. Their priest, standing behind the altar, openly gay. The elderly retired priest, who never felt able to come out. The teenage girl, afraid to tell her father. The couple, who wanted God's blessing on their union, but whose families would not attend. To these and to many others, my witness, imperfect human being that I am, has been a sign of hope, a sign of acceptance, a sign of God's love in a world, including the church, that does not always show love. I am humbled by this unintentional ministry. I try to live it out with dignity and integrity. And there have, of course, always been those across the years who decided to leave whenever I came into a parish, who were not at all pleased with the decision to call a gay man as priest, especially one who was open about it, whose picture had been in the papers, who took an active and sometimes outspoken role in the community. I could do nothing about that. Most of them I never met. And it's really only in creating relationship that stereotypes begin to break down, which is the whole import of today's familiar story from Luke. As Jesus returns the young Gerasene clothed and in his right mind to his place in community. And if you want a modern parable for that theme, read the poignant journal notes in the gallery that accompany the photo display of Kylie's journey to confirm her true gender. There's one more bit of song I want to share from that long ago concert. It speaks to me of this sort of mutual relationship, the recognition of the worth of another as a child of God, no matter where they happen to stand on any one of a number of life's continuums. The refrain of the song goes like this. The size of your heart is the size of your life, for out of your heart comes the kind of your life. The way you reach out to the world all around is first in your heart to be found. St. Mark's has come a long way in my 43 years in this community. It hasn't always been perfect. It hasn't always been pretty. At times, the size of our heart has been darn near pea-shaped and difficult to locate. We have definitely had our years of don't ask, don't tell. And we've had even darker moments of repression as well. But by God's good grace, today we reach out to the world around us with an official stance of inclusive welcome. Not just for LGBTQ folks, but for all of Christ's brothers and sisters, regardless of our many differences. In some ways, this is now just a formality. It is who we have come to be with God's help, who we strive to continue being as the household of God in this place. Living out the baptismal covenant to respect the dignity of all of God's children. By doing so, we offer a profound and necessary witness to a world that still sees the other as less than, and that seeks in many quarters today to remove hard-won gains. Is our witness a growth strategy? Possibly. But that's not the point, is it? The point is to live so that we may attain to the fullness of the stature of Christ, so that we may offer to others the freedom, hope, and peace that we ourselves have received, so that God may carry out in us and through us the divine work of new creation. Lift up your voice with strength, St. Mark's. Let us be a beacon on the hilltop. Here let mercy and truth meet together. Let righteousness and peace kiss one another. In Christ, we are together and we are one. And I am so proud to be part of it.